Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And then once you've found that, if you'll also turn and keep a finger in Exodus chapter 14, we'll go back there in just a second. And so if you'll, we'll take just a minute here and read our text in Hebrews chapter 11, then go back to Exodus chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 11, and again, we'll just read here. We read it this morning in our scripture reading, but I just want to read verse number 6, and then we'll turn back to Exodus chapter 14 and look at that in just a second. But Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You turn back to Exodus 14. Now the Old Testament, as you're turning there, is full of exciting, dramatic, and historical events, and we can look at a number of those this morning, but perhaps one of the most amazing stories, one of the most mind-blowing stories in the Old Testament is God leading his people out of the nation of Egypt, freeing them. They had been in slavery there for years and years, and God supernaturally freed them from bondage and slavery and proved himself powerful and faithful through the 10 plagues and all of the different events of their coming out of the land of Egypt. After escaping Egypt, of course, the children of Israel make their way. They're traveling to the Red Sea only to discover as they get to the brink of the sea that the Egyptian army was behind them. They saw the dust on the horizon from the chariots chasing after them. There were rocks on either side. There were the sea in front of them, and they were afraid. They stood there at the brink of that sea, fearful for their lives. You're in Exodus chapter 14. We'll start reading here in verse number 9. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go, on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now by this point, God had already shown himself real to the Israelites. He'd already proved his faithfulness and his power in sending the 10 plagues or 12 plagues and allowing them to come out of the land of Egypt. He sent those 10 plagues working through Moses. Now it was time for Moses and the Israelites to take a step of faith, to walk out. God said to them there in verse 15, and we looked at this at the beginning of the year, wherefore Christ I unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they, what? Go forward. I was thinking this, I was preparing for the sermon. You know, God could have parted the Red Sea without ever using Moses. God could have used a number of ways to deliver his people. But see, God was testing the faith of his people. He said to Moses, stick out your rod. He said to the people, go forward, take that step. He wanted them to take that literal step of faith, demonstrating their complete trust in him during a difficult situation. And the truth is this, just as God wanted the Israelites of the Old Testament to step out in faith, I believe he wants the same for us today. He desires that we step out in faith so that he can show us his power and his faithfulness and his goodness and trustworthiness, that we would act in faith, demonstrating our complete trust in the reliability and the power of God. See, faith is not just part of justification in salvation. Faith is an everyday part of our sanctification. And this passage that we started with in Hebrews tells us that we can't live without it. We must have faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot grow in Christ. Without faith, we cannot experience the Christian life to the full extent. We can't do these things unless we live lives of faith. Now, I was reading in Luke just a little while ago, and I was challenged by this thought. And I don't always do a theme for the year, and this is not necessarily a yearly theme. This is something that I wanted to start the year with, and a thought, and we might come back to it occasionally through the year. But in Luke chapter 17, the disciples tried to cast out a demon, and they were not able to. And they came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it would be removed. And the disciples come to Jesus in Luke 17, and they say to him, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. My desire this year is that we would have that same prayer this year, saying, Lord, I want you to increase my faith. Increase our faith, that we would step out in faith and obey him by faith and walk by faith and do things, attempt great things for God that will stretch our faith, that this would be a year of growing together by faith, that we would have that same prayer as the disciples, Lord, increase my faith, increase our faith. I want you to see just a few things here, and we can go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll spend a little bit of time there in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see a couple of things here this morning. First of all, a description of faith. In order to live by faith, we have to understand what faith is, what that means. And I'd like us to think of it this way. I'd like us to think of it in relation, these three words in relation to faith: confidence, change, and commitment. Confidence, change, and commitment. Not in any particular order. They're all important. They're all part of describing what faith is. First of all, faith, true faith, has confidence. And true faith is something that is never separated from confidence. It is a full assurance in God. To live a faith-filled life, we have to be 100% sure that God can do what he said he will do. That God is faithful. We have to be totally confident in him. You know, it's like if I were to go sit in that chair right there. If I were to walk over there, I would only sit here if I had full confidence that this chair was going to hold me up. Now I have sitting, that's not a correct word. I'm sorry for my English this morning. I have sat on chairs that did not hold me up. I had confidence in them, but my confidence was misplaced. I would sit down and the legs would give out. But if I were to go here and sit this morning, I would do so because I have full confidence that that chair is going to hold me. It's going to keep me up. That's the confidence we have to have in God. If I doubt, then I'm not living a life of faith. That confidence that we have, there is no doubt, there's no question. I am 100% sure, listen, that God will be faithful to his word. He will keep his word. I can have total confidence in him. That's what faith is. It's confidence. Secondly, true faith requires change. True faith in someone or something will change your life. When you begin to fully understand that the fact that Christ has saved you from an eternity in hell and is now preparing a place for you in heaven, there should be, when you understand that, there should be an evident change in your life. How you live, how you act. If this is what you truly believe, then that belief should manifest a change in our life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Faith changes us. A true faith also demands commitments. You know, too often, Christians who have been saved for a long period of time lose the joy of being a Christian. And I think maybe that's a temptation the longer that we are saved. Let me encourage you this morning, never lose the excitement of being a Christian. Never lose the joy of what Christ has done for you. You are on your way to heaven this morning because Christ died for you. We have hope this morning that the world doesn't have because of Christ. You are loved by the Almighty God of the universe. Individually loved. He is your Father. He wants to be your friend. Listen, don't ever get over that. Don't ever lose the joy of your salvation. Now listen, because of what Christ has done for you, and we think about that this morning, the joy in our salvation, but shouldn't we not also live for him because of that? Should we not also be fully committed to him? I was thinking this morning of Penn Jillette. Do you know that name? Maybe you know if you see that picture. Penn and Teller. Do you know? Anyone know who they are? All right, a few of you know. They are magicians, and they do a number of different things. He's a well-known magician, but Penn, the one on my left, is an outspoken atheist, a magician and an outspoken atheist. Yet even with that, Penn has a great deal of respect for Christians who share their faith. This is what he said, and this is very interesting coming from an atheist. He said this, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? That's coming from an atheist. How much do you have to hate someone to believe that Christian life, to believe that eternal life and everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? He recognizes this, that true Christianity requires commitment. And true faith will be evidenced in every area of our life. It'll show in our witness as we joyfully fulfill the Great Commission. It'll show in our relationships as we love our neighbors as ourselves. It'll show in our ministry as we faithfully serve the people that God is putting in front of us. It'll show in our devotion to him as we let the Holy Spirit fill our lives and control us. Our faith should be evidenced in the way that we live. Jesus said it this way, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Faith requires confidence. It requires change. It requires a commitment to Christ. It ought to be evidenced in the way that we live. But I want you to notice this secondly. Faith is a commitment, but faith is a daily commitment. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That means if we want to please Christ, we need to live by faith every day. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so to please him, we must live by faith. It is a day-by-day commitment. Now, I understand that there are times in our life where God leads us to take huge steps of faith. We've been there and you've been there. You understand what that is. There are certain moments in our life where we take those large leaps of faith, trusting God. Maybe your family had to make the decision to move or to get a different job or whatever it might be. These are life-changing decisions. Major decisions with major implications, and we take those big steps of faith. But the truth is this, our steps of faith are not limited to those big decisions. We don't just need to take the big steps of faith, we need to take every step of faith. Every day is a step of faith. Big steps, small steps, all day, every day, over and over again. The Christian life, the whole thing is a walk of faith. Every moment. It doesn't matter your stage of life or maturity as a Christian. Your walk with God is a walk of faith. Every single day you need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. Every single day you need to allow him to move and lead you and respond in faith as you make small decisions and big decisions. If your car breaks down, or your water heater breaks, or your unsaved neighbor shows interest in spiritual things, or your child asks you a deep question that you need to answer, all of those require faith in God. Every step is taken by faith. And as we display that faith, God gives us the answers that we need, day by day. You realize that every day, God gives you opportunities to demonstrate your faith in him every single day. Let me give you an illustration of how this might work. Let's say you struggle with anger. You struggle with your temper. That's just one area. You know that. You struggle that way, and so you pray and ask the Lord to help you to control that temper, to control that anger. You understand that to please him, you have to live by faith. And so when you're in that situation where you're tempted to get angry and tempted to get upset, God may impress on your heart specific things that he desires you to do at that moment, specific responses he desires you to have. If you're irritated with an individual, he may impress on your heart to do something for that person. If you're upset at someone, he may impress on your heart at that moment to pray for them, to do something for them, and so on and so forth. Well, how do we obey? Well, we obey by taking a step of faith and saying, I know I feel this way, but I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do this by faith and believe that God is going to work and God is going to move in this situation. Every day is a day that ought to be lived by faith. There are moments throughout the day that you can demonstrate your faith in God. And there's so many ways that that works its way out. Listen, if you're not experiencing the spiritual victory you desire in your life, don't blame God. The problem is never God's ability to give victory. The problem is always our faith to claim the victory that God has already given. If you ask the Lord to help you, he promises to respond to your faith and guide you in what you do. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, as you approach God's throne in prayer each day, you come in need of something that only God can give. You may need an extra measure of patience. You may need wisdom or strength. God wants to give you what he need, and to those he rewards those, it says in verse number 6, that diligently seek after him. So what is it that we need? Well, there's a lot of things. I'm just thinking of a few this morning. We need his wisdom. Day by day, we need his wisdom. Every day, we need his wisdom to make decisions, to know how to act, to know how to respond to others, to know how to live righteously in a wicked society. Every day, we need God's wisdom. James says this, if any of you, in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, that's a hypothetical thought there. We all lack wisdom. We know we do. If any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But, he says, how do we ask? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. God promises to give you the wisdom that you need day by day, but only as you come to him and ask him by faith. We cannot expect God to bless us with wisdom if we don't come and ask by faith. He goes on to say this, for let not that man, what man? The one who doesn't ask by faith. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God wants to give you wisdom. We need to ask in faith. We need his wisdom. Secondly, we need his power. Isn't it so comforting this morning to know that God is all powerful? That God is in control of all things. When we pray, we give our petitions to the Almighty God who has absolutely no limits to what he can do. He's all powerful. Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing that God cannot do. How do we access this unlimited power of God? Well, I don't want to give it all away because we're going to look at this exact same thing next week. Through the earthly ministry of Jesus, he demonstrated his power to those that displayed faith in him. And we're going to look at the story next week in Matthew chapter 9, the account where Jesus responds to the faith of the men who brought a man who was sick with palsy to him. He saw their faith and he intervened in the situation. He healed. Their faith stirred Christ to action. They came to him by faith and Jesus displayed his power. If we want to see the power of God in our lives, we have to approach God the way that those men approached Jesus, by faith. I think that's why the disciples cried out, Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because they wanted to know the power of Christ in their lives. They wanted to see that power. They wanted to see him display that power and majesty, the working of God in their lives. And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. We want to see you work that way. We need his wisdom. We need his power. Thirdly, we need his presence. We need his constant presence. I think one of the most comforting attributes of God is the fact that he is always with us. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, says, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God is ever present. And since he is always available to guide and comfort, protect. See, we have no reason to fear or to doubt. Faith is being confident in the presence of God even when we can't see him, even when we don't understand. See, we were not meant to walk the Christian life without experiencing the presence of God. Have faith in His presence. Experience the joy of His companionship day after day. God wants to reveal Himself to you, to work in you and through you, and He does that as you walk by faith and not by sight. You live a life that is pleasing to Him as you're living it by faith. And notice this, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God rewards those who walk by faith. He wants to give those rewards to you as you walk by faith. God wants to pour out His blessing and His goodness and His power on your life. What a shame it would be to miss out on those things because of a lack of faith in a great God. May we daily be committed to living a life of faith. It's a daily commitment. But then notice thirdly and finally, faith must also be a discipline. It must be a discipline. It seems overly simple, right? The way to please God is to live a life of faith. It seems almost too simple this morning. But it's easy to say that, and then we struggle with it. We struggle actually living a life of faith. Why? We struggle because the world, the flesh, the devil are constantly distracting us from what should be the focus in our lives. We're always distracted from it. Living out this faith this year requires discipline and diligence in our life. See, the life of faith is not a life of feeling or facts. When the Lord leads you to do something, you may not feel like it. Maybe the Lord's leading you to witness to someone. You may not feel like doing it at that moment. That feeling that you feel may give you every sort of excuse not to do what God is calling you to do. You're too tired. It's too hard. Maybe somebody else already witnessed to them. I don't know what to say. The life of feeling is driven by your flesh and it cannot be trusted. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And so the life of faith is not a life of feelings, but also the life of faith is not a life of living by facts. You know, often, I say that to say this, often the Lord requires us to do things that go beyond our human logic or human understanding. It's beyond what we might think is right. We have to choose to follow the Lord even when logically it makes no sense to us. It doesn't make any sense to do it that way. But God's called us to do it. You know, I think sometimes we err by only stepping out when we have everything together. We'll only do something when we have all the plans laid out and all the pieces in place. Then we'll step out and we'll do those things. We'll move forward once we have everything figured out, once we have all the facts in place. But the truth is this, I think this morning sometimes we need to step out before we have it all together. Sometimes I think we need to step out by faith without having it all figured out, without having all the facts and all of the pieces in place. That is living a life of faith. We're going to step out and do this by faith, whether we understand it or not, because God has called me to do it, and I'm going to do it by faith. One of the most, I think, influential missionaries of the 20th century was the young martyr, Jim Elliot. I'm sure you know his story already. And Jim Elliot developed a heart for foreign missions at an early age in life. And really that desire, that passion burned through his heart through his whole life. He entered Wheaton College as a freshman, knowing already that he wanted to go to the mission field. During his whole years excuse me, in college, he lived in anticipation of getting to the mission field. That was his singular purpose. He cared more for his long-term goal of getting to the mission field than anything around him at that time. I'm sure you know the story well. Jim Elliot did become a missionary. Jim Elliot went to the Aka Indians in Ecuador and was barely there before he was killed and gave his life as a martyr. And you know, many people would look at Jim Elliot's life and say, well, that was a life wasted. There's so much else that he could have done. There's so many other places he could have gone. In that short life, there wasn't much time really for him to accomplish anything for God that he wanted to. But Jim Elliot was more concerned with living a life of faith than he was living a life of logic. That's why he said this in his journal. His wife found these now famous words: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He had his priorities right. He was going to live a life of faith and do what God called him to, regardless of the situation. Let me say this as we finish up here this morning. After we make the decision to live a life of faith instead of feelings, our flesh will fight against that commitment. It's just in our nature as humans that we have a hard time trusting what we can't see. We have a hard time stepping out when we don't have it all figured out. We like the security of knowing that all of our needs are going to be met and everything is in place. We cannot allow circumstances around us to weaken our faith. You know, there's two different ideas that exist to describe what faith is. We looked at one already, the definition of faith that is found there in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But the other idea of faith comes from a worldly mindset. The world might translate Hebrews 11, 6 this way: without faith in yourself, it is impossible to please yourself. In order to reach your full potential, you have to believe in what you are. That's how the world might describe faith. That's not how the Bible describes it. Let's purpose this morning in our hearts to put all of our faith in God and none in ourselves. Faith is not about what you can accomplish. Faith is what God can accomplish through you as you're obedient to Him. I don't know what God is calling you to do this year. Maybe God wants you to start giving. Or give more. Maybe God wants you to reach out to that coworker, that family member, or that friend. Share the gospel with them. Maybe God wants you to be more involved in this church, to be baptized, to join the church in membership, to get involved. I don't know what it is that God wants you to do, but I believe there are a lot of things that God wants us to do as a church body. I do know this, though, that God wants us to move forward. God said to the Israelites, to Moses, tell them to move forward. Tell them to take a step of faith and then see what I can do. I believe that God wants us to move forward. And He wants us to do it by faith. Maybe we ought to just take a minute and pray together and say, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase my faith this year. Help me to trust you every step of the way, whether I feel like it or not. Whether it all makes sense or whether it doesn't, I'm going to live a life of faith, a life that is pleasing to you. Will that be your prayer this morning? Lord, increase my faith. Listen, there are all sorts of things that you may regret looking back in your life. You know, it's interesting. when someone passes and you get together and you begin to talk about stories of this happened and that happened and I regret doing this or I wish maybe I would have done this different. There's all sorts of things that you may look back on in your life and say, I wish I wouldn't have done it that way. But I can guarantee you this morning, if you take a step of faith, you will never regret it. You will never regret any step of faith that you have taken. You might regret the ones that you didn't take, that God called you to take, but you'll never regret the ones that you did take. So let's have that be our prayer this morning. Let's purpose in our hearts that we would say, Lord, increase my faith. Who knows what 2024 is going to bring? It's already been an interesting start, a busy start to the year all around the world. Who knows what's going to happen this year? But let's say this, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you day by day, step by step. I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to you because I'm going to live it by faith. Increase my faith.